Alrighty, let's take our Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 tonight, and we're going to continue, studying out the miraculous sign gifts. Alright, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, let me go ahead and switch now. See if this one will work. Testing one. All right, am I on? Man, this isn't my night, is it? All right. The thing is, we can't keep trotting these things out. We've only got two. So if this one doesn't work, then we're in trouble. All right. I think I'm okay now. If you look down there, verse 7, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. What was going on in Corinth, the church at Corinth, is you were having some visible manifestations of God through some miraculous type spiritual gifts. And what was happening, the Corinthians were in great danger because there were people in the church, okay, where these gifts were being counterfeited. They were, saying that they were doing this stuff through God's power. They were speaking on behalf of God, but they were counterfeiting the spiritual gifts. What they were doing is they were taking these miraculous demonstrations and they were teaching false doctrine in the process. And so Paul's trying to tell them here, look, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody has a physical miraculous demonstration or not. If they're teaching false doctrine, then you know it's not of God. And so, you know, that's not the issue. So what you have here is you've got a list beginning in verse 8 of some of these miraculous sign gifts. And Paul's going to deal with these in chapters 12, 13, and 14. He's going to deal with these supernatural gifts. Now, let me say this to you before we dive in. There are basically, if I could have a little bit more, about to kill me up here. There's two different kinds of gifts. There are miraculous sign gifts that Paul talks about, and then there are ministry gifts listed over in Romans 12. The ministry gifts in Romans 12 were not of a miraculous nature. They were just gifts that were given just for ministering and serving one to another. The supernatural gifts are here in verses 8, 9, and 10. And what we did is we began last Sunday night the teenagers gave some wonderful testimonies about camp. And so it was a little bit shorter. I didn't have as much time. And I think we got through three of them. If you look at verse 8, it says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And then he says, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. We dealt with the thing of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge last Sunday night. You know, you hear preachers get on TV and they say, oh, I'm getting a word of knowledge about you out there watching this TV broadcast. And I'm getting this word of wisdom, this word of knowledge. And we talked about that thing and what that gift was. And so we dealt with that. And then you look down there at verse number 9. It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. What was the gift of faith? Well, we looked at that. Faith had to do with miraculous answers to prayer, removing monumental problems, mountains, if you will, that would confront you. And we talked about the gift of faith and how that was operative at that time. It doesn't work today in the same way because we're gonna explain that when I'm all done with these gifts. I'm going to go back and explain to you why these supernatural sign gifts have ceased, why they're no longer necessary, and we're going to go back and we're going to look at that. But tonight, I want to deal with verse 9 again. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of what? Healing by the same Spirit. Now, what was the gift of healing back here in the early church? The gift of healing was the supernatural capacity to make sick and afflicted people well. Now, I'm going to give you some teaching on this tonight. You're going to have to really stay with me. This thing of physical healing, it was a consistent part of God's program with the nation of Israel. Physical healing is part of God's covenant with the nation of Israel. And it goes all the way back to when God led them out of Egypt, and He led them out of the bondage and the slavery of Egypt. He made a covenant, He made some promises to them. Go back with me to the book of Exodus, the second book of your Bible, and you can keep your bookmarker here if you want to. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15. Okay, now here we go. Israel has just come across the Red Sea. They've come out of the bondage of Egypt. Notice verse 26, Exodus 15, 26. Here's what God says to Israel. Okay, look at it. Yeah, you really ought to look at it and see it. Verse 26, here's what He told Israel. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes. Now look at the promise. I will put none of these what? Diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that what? Healeth thee. Go over to chapter 23. Exodus 23. Notice how this thing of physical healing from disease was part of that program with the nation of Israel. Exodus 23, and you really ought to look at it and see it. Look at verse 25. You ought to cross-reference these later in your Bible. I love doing that. I love to, if one reference matches another one, I like to write in the cross-reference right next to it. Look at Exodus 23:25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water. And notice the promise. God said, and I will take what? Sickness away from the midst of thee. What a promise. Look with me. I hadn't planned on sharing this with you, but let me go ahead and take you over to Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Just go forward a couple books to Deuteronomy 7 and show you another cross-reference. You may want to write this in next to Exodus 23:25. Deuteronomy 7:15. Deuteronomy 7:15. Notice again, part of the covenant God made with Israel. And the Lord will take away from thee all... Now notice this. The Lord will take away from thee some sickness? No, all sickness. And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. You know what? You know what Benny Hinn and some of these guys will do on TV? They'll run right back here to Exodus and Deuteronomy, and they'll run back to the prophets of Israel, and they will quote these verses on TV. And people who don't know how to rightly divide the Word of God, they can't tell Israel from the church. They don't know Israel from the body of Christ. It becomes a pretty serious issue. Because you know what? If you don't understand the basic difference between the nation of Israel and God's covenant program with them and the body of Christ of today, which is composed mainly of Gentiles, and any Jew that gets saved today has to get saved just like a Gentile, because God took Jews and Gentiles and He cast them both off. He concluded them both in unbelief that He may have mercy upon all. And if you can't figure out, my friend, the difference between God's program for Israel and God's program for the body of Christ, then you have absolutely no way to be able to figure out these things, such as this funny business going on TV where they get up and they read Exodus 15:26, or they read Exodus 23:29, and God's going to take away all sickness, they'll say. See, look at the screen. Look at this prophet of Israel, Exodus 34 and verse 16. This is another good cross-reference. It says, God said that when Israel's kingdom comes to the earth, here's what He promised them. He said, I will seek that which was lost. He said, I will bring again that which was driven away. Look what He's going to do for Israel. I'm going to bind up that which was broken. And God said, I'm going to strengthen that which was what? Sick. Healing is an inherent part of their first covenant through Moses, and it's a part of the new covenant, that new covenant that God's going to establish with Israel in the future after the body of Christ is complete and we're raptured up. Physical healing was part of the first covenant, the old covenant. Physical healing is part of the new covenant. He said, I'm going to strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. I got another one. Look up on the screen at Jeremiah 30:17. God promised Israel, here's what I'm going to do for you in the future, okay? He said, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Now, another thing that I find interesting in the Bible is that the issue of God's forgiveness of Israel's sins and physical healing go hand in hand in the Bible. When you read your Bible and you read passages dealing with Israel and dealing with their future new covenant that God's going to establish with them in the future on the earth, you'll find that when God comes back, when God comes back down to the earth and He establishes that new covenant with the nation of Israel on earth, you're going to find two things go hand in hand. Number one, forgiveness of all their sins. He's going to remit their sins at His second coming. Okay, and then the second thing you're going to see is this thing of physical healing. The thing of the kingdom and the healing, they go hand in hand. Let me show you a few verses to kind of demonstrate this to you. Look up at the screen, Isaiah 33:24. Putting some of these up here because obviously we wouldn't have time to look at all these tonight. Here's what God says in Israel's kingdom. And the inhabitants shall not say what? Yeah. The inhabitant in Israel's kingdom, those who go into that kingdom, which is the context of Isaiah 33, those who go into that kingdom will not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein, notice they shall be what? Forgiven their iniquity. Notice how divine healing, physical healing, goes hand in hand with the forgiveness of their sins when Christ returns. Look at the screen at Psalm 103 and verse 3. Notice it says, who forgiveth all thine, Israel is the thine, he forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Divine forgiveness and physical healing going hand in hand. Let me show you a couple passages up in the New Testament. Look at Matthew 9. Go over there. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. And notice again how this thing of healing and forgiveness goes hand in hand. Christ is ministering to the nation of Israel, and He's going around healing people. And in Matthew 9, look what happens here. Okay, look what happens in Matthew 9, verse 6. He says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to what? Forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. This fella is healed of palsy, and he's forgiven of his sin. This guy is a type of the nation of Israel. Because Israel will be forgiven of their sins, and they will receive physical healing from the hand of their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Take you to another one. Go to James chapter 5. Now, this passage right here, you want to know who it's written to, just look at the very first verse. Go to James 1:1, and we know exactly who James, the leader of the church at Jerusalem, we know exactly who he's talking to. James 1:1. Look at it. James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the what? Now, who would that be? Israel. See how God gives you the context of a book at the very beginning? Now, I love the book of James. I like to study it. I just got done reading through Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. We call them the Hebrew epistles because they're all focused to the nation of Israel. I just got done reading and rereading those about three times. Just boom, in a matter of days, I read through all those epistles and just, man, had a time cross-referencing and doing things. I've taught through the book of Hebrews verse by verse before. I've taught through James here before at the church. I love the book of James. But you know what? I love it more when I appreciate its context. I love it and I can appreciate it more when I know who it's written to. And I know that James, okay, I know that James was writing to Israel. He was writing to them in view of the last days. That's the context of the book. He's writing to the 12 tribes and he's writing to them in the context of, hey, it's the last days. Look at James chapter 5. I'll show you. James chapter 5. And look over here, again, look at verse 3, James 5, 3. He's talking to the rich. He says, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the what? Last days. You look down here, verse 8, James 5, 8. He tells Israel to be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Now, you cross-reference this and you'll find James is writing to Israel. He's writing to the Jews. And he's writing to them in the context of the last days with the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ, to give them that kingdom. And that's the context of the book of James. Now, within that context, we understand James 5, verse 14. He says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Call for the elders of that local assembly. And let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, what? Does it say it might? Does it say it probably will? What does the Bible say? Shall save the sick. Deacons, pastors, have we ever prayed over somebody and have they still died? Yeah, we sure have. We've prayed over people and they've died. But here, we can appreciate this if we understand the context. You're dealing with Israel, and what did we say is part of God's covenant with Israel? Physical what? Healing. It's part of the covenant. He said, you keep the covenant, I'm going to heal you. And so we understand now why it's written this way. This is inherent into the covenant that God made with Israel, and we know who James is writing to. He's writing to Israel. And he says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be what? Isn't that interesting? That physical healing and forgiveness of sins go hand in hand. That's interesting. Well, it just makes sense because that's the covenant God has with Israel. And that is physical healing and the remitting of their sins go hand in hand. And they will go, and they go together. Okay, when Christ comes back at the second coming. Verse number 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be what? Healed. So this thing of physical healing and divine forgiveness go hand in hand for the nation of Israel. Was physical healing part of Christ's earthly ministry to Israel? Yes or no? Yes, big time. We're going to look at that here in just a minute. When Christ commissioned the 12, was healing part of their commission? Yeah, absolutely. Go to Mark 16, I'll show you. Mark 16, this was spoken after the resurrection in that 40-day window. before he ascended back to heaven. Look what he tells them. So you got to take all the words that he spoke in that 40-day window, you got to put them all together, and you got to see what's going on here. There's something happening here, because they're expecting the restoration of the kingdom, according to Acts 1:6. The mystery, the body of Christ, has not been revealed. Okay? They're still looking for the kingdom. They don't have a clue about the body of Christ. They're looking for the kingdom to come. They said in Acts 1:6, after spending 40 days with Jesus, so are you going to restore it now? Right now? They're looking for the kingdom. Well, what's part of that kingdom program? Look at Mark 16. Part of the kingdom program is Mark 16:17. He tells them to go out, preach the gospel, and we talked about what that gospel was. It's the gospel of the kingdom, according to Matthew 24. And these signs, verse 17, shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. Do I got anybody tonight that wants to do that? And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now look at this. This is part of that covenant program. He's sending them out, okay, to represent. Remember, they are the 12 that will sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 are going to sit on 12 thrones in the kingdom. They will represent God's kingdom that's going to come on the earth. And as His representatives of that kingdom, we know part of that kingdom program was physical healing. So what does the end of verse 18 say? And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they what? There it is, friend. They shall recover. Acts chapter 3, if you'll turn over there, we see the 12 apostles exercising this gift, just as He instructed them to do. We see the 12 going out here in Acts after the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They go out and they do exactly what He said. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Notice they went where? To the temple. Sure. At the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This guy's been lame from the time he was born. Verse 3, and everybody knew it. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Don't have any money to give you. "But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Chapter 5. Says there in verse 12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." You go down here to verse 15. "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Then came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one." Now, why? If here we are in Acts, man, we're after the resurrection, right? We're after the resurrection. Holy Spirit's come. Well, it's very easy if you understand your Bible to know what's going on. Peter and James and John and the 12 are going out here, and they're going exclusively to Israel, and they are preaching to them to repent and to prepare themselves for the coming of Christ, Acts chapter 3 says. He said, if you'll repent, when Christ comes back, He's going to remit your sins. And when Christ comes back, Israel, He's going to remit your sins, and all these physical demonstrations of healing were signs that their message was true and that what they were saying was correct, And basically what they're getting right here in Acts, the beginning of Acts, they're getting a foretaste of the kingdom. They are getting a taste. As Hebrews says, you've tasted of the world, the powers of the world to come. They are tasting of the powers of the world to come. They are getting a taste of the coming kingdom here in the beginning of Acts. How many people were being healed? All of them. Every one of them. What did he say about the kingdom? He said, those who go into the kingdom will not say, I am sick. And so we see here this preparation. Of course, did Israel receive the message of the kingdom? Yes or no? No, they rejected it, didn't they? They rejected it, and of course we know that God ended up raising up Paul, and God ended up revealing to him something new. That kingdom program would be set aside, and that God was going to start forming a new organism, a new creation, a new man, the Bible says, called the body of Christ, which I'm going to begin teaching on Wednesday night. Now, folks, look up here and listen. You can try and exercise this gift all day long, but it's not going to work. Because this was part of God's kingdom program with Israel. That kingdom program has been set aside today, but it will resume one day after the body of Christ today is complete. That kingdom program will resume. Now, look up on the screen and notice what Paul calls today. He says, for I reckon that the what of this present time? Wait a minute, that's sure not what the kingdom program was, is it? He calls this the sufferings of this present time. And he says they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, where, church? In us. See? He says, look at the next passage, if we could bring it up, guys. If we could bring up the next one. Paul said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, our physical man, what? Perish. Yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Can I share something with you tonight? There is a healing program for the body of Christ, and it's called the Day of Redemption. There's a healing program for the body of Christ, and it's called the Day of Redemption. It's called the rapture. It's called when Jesus returns for us in the clouds of heaven, and we're caught up to meet Him in the air. And the Bible says that our corruptible bodies will be redeemed, and we're going to be given a glorified body like our Savior Jesus Christ, and we aren't ever going to get sick again. We will have physical healing. But it's not going to happen like for Israel down here on the earth when he comes back to the earth. It's going to happen for us in the heavens when we're caught up to meet him in the air and he changes these vile bodies. And Philippians 3 says he's going to fashion these bodies like unto his glorious body. There's a healing program for us. It's called the Day of Redemption. It's when he comes to redeem us to himself. Now, question, do believers get sick and recover sometimes today? Yes or no? Sure, it happens all the time. But is it the result of some faith healer with some apostolic gift coming and touching you and healing you? No. One of the saddest things I think I've ever seen in my life was I was at a funeral here in town. I wasn't doing the funeral. I was just attending it. And a little girl had died of cancer. And I stood there and I watched. I can't remember if it was the little girl's dad or her uncle. I can't remember now. But the man stood up there and he was so dejected. He was so heartbroken. The church was just packed and he said, you know, there are a lot of verses in the Bible about healing. He's talking about all those ones I put on the screen. He said, we claimed them. We quoted them. We prayed them over our little girl, and she still died. And he said, you know, you want to look up to heaven, and he said, you want to say, God, are you still in charge? Did something go wrong? And you could sense his utter disappointment that the verses didn't work the way they were supposed to work. Do you see why I
talks so much about rightly dividing the Word of God. Do you understand why I'm passionate about that? It's because of men like that. Never taught how to rightly divide the Word. And this man is heartbroken because he's standing on and claiming verses that don't belong to him. They belong to the nation of Israel. And they deal with that kingdom that's going to come. But yet he's sitting there. And this man is absolutely devastated. Did you read on FoxNews.com? The little girl who died, a little 12, 13-year-old girl, died from diabetes. They said she could have easily been cured with medicine. But her parents rejected medical help because they were praying and trusting God for her healing. And she died. All the while quoting the verses. All the while going to believe God. Folks, listen. You can believe God and you can trust His Word, but if you're doing it ignorantly, you're in trouble. You better know something about how to rightly divide your Bible. Do you see why we have church three times a week? Do you see why we study God's Word? Do you see why we're passionate about it? Do you see tonight why it's important? Amen? Do you see it? Do you understand why it's important? Benny Hinn and all the other TV religious superstars claim to have the apostolic gift of healing like Peter had. But rest assured, they don't. When they are scrutinized by God's standard, the standard of His Word, and when they are scrutinized by the healing ministry of Christ and His apostles, they're not even on the same planet. You say, but Pastor Dan, I was at a meeting. I saw somebody healed or whatever. You say, what is all that? I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. What we see today, when you see this stuff, it's a mixture of several things. It's a mixture of demonic deception. Can the devil work miracles? Yes or no? We saw that 2 weeks ago. The devil has the power to work miracles. So does the false prophet in the tribulation. What you have today is you have a mixture of demonic deception. You have emotional manipulation of people by professionals. They're professionals at manipulating people's emotions. You have mind control. You have religious hysteria. And you have self-induced wishful thinking, and it's all working together. And they are taking advantage of afflicted people, and these people are looking desperately for an answer to their problem. And every healing revival, these healing evangelists send multitudes of people away who are disappointed that didn't get a cure. Compare that to Christ. Go to Matthew 9. And I'm over time and I don't care. Look at Matthew 9. We got to finish this. Matthew 9, give me 5 minutes. Matthew 9:35. Look at it with me. Matthew 9:35. Benny Hinn and these guys, they send away multitudes of people who came clinging to a hope of healing, and they leave utterly disappointed. They send away multitudes. Oh, they'll bring up 15, maybe 20 people, but there's thousands there wanting a cure. And they send them away disappointed. When the TV cameras go off and the TV cameras stop rolling, they get back on their private jets or into their limousines, and off they go to their next meeting. Compare that to Christ, Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And healing, what is the next two words? Every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 10:1. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal not just backaches. Not just arthritis, okay? He gave them power to heal what? all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Things that you could see physically and things internally in people that back then, you know, cancer, I didn't have that word, I'm sure. They didn't even know what it was eating them up. He gave them power over outward physical things and inner disease. Look at, well, we already read it, so I'm not going to read it again. But you remember the passage that we read there in Acts where it said that Peter, they brought out the sick on beds and couches into the streets, and there came multitudes out of the cities. Listen to this. Bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. Now listen. And they were healed every one. Nobody was sent away disappointed. Folks, we are living in a dispensation of grace, but it's called the sufferings of this present time. Now look up here and I'm done. We're living in a time in which the kingdom program of Israel, where God's going to come back, He's going to establish a new covenant with them, He's going to heal them, and He's going to heal them of all disease and sickness, He's going to remit their sins. That's all going to come out there in the future. But right now, we're living in the dispensation of grace. We're living in the sufferings of this present time. We're living in a time period in which the Bible says that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Praise the Lord when we get sick. Isn't it great when we get better? But you know what? I've got even a better hope for you than that. And that is we're all going to be doing real good come rapture day. Amen. We are all going to be resurrected. We're going to get new bodies. And there will never be any more physical pain again. No more physical suffering. The sufferings of this present time will be over. And I'm just going to listen to this verse. He said, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now listen to this. It says, for we know that the whole creation, right now in this dispensation, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, Paul said. And not only they, not only creation, he says, but ourselves also, we're groaning in pain. He said, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Are you waiting for that redemption? Amen. Isn't that going to be an exciting day? What a hope. What a blessed hope we have. No wonder Paul said that he called it the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. I'm way over time tonight. But I plan, I'm not kidding you, I planned on getting through four of these gifts tonight. And I only got through one. But I really want you to understand this thing of the gift of healing. I want you to understand healing in the Bible, where it belongs, where it's at. Not that God can't heal you, not that our bodies never are going to heal. You know, praise the Lord, God's put a healing, God has put in us, in our bodies. Isn't it wonderful and glorious the way that our bodies, when they get sick, will kick in and try to heal themselves? That's from God. That's God that does that, by the way. See, and that's exciting that God's put that in our bodies to do that. But you know what? If the Lord tarries is coming, now again, I don't want to depress you tonight, but if the Lord tarries is coming, and if the Lord doesn't come back for another 50 years, you know what's going to happen to all us? Listen, you know what's going to happen to Benny Hinn. Same thing that happens to me is going to happen to Benny. Benny's going to get sick, and Benny's going to what? Going to die. See? That's called the sufferings of this present time. And again, I don't want to be morbid. I don't want to depress you. That's just a fact of life. But you know what our hope is? Our hope is that glorious time in heaven when the sufferings of this time give way to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. And you know what? Here's the deal. That shouldn't bother us a lick. Because you know what? Our hope isn't on this earth. Our hope's in heaven. And listen, church, it shouldn't bother us a lick because we realize that we have a firm hope. We have a firm foundation. We have Jesus Christ. And you know what it ought to encourage us to do? Is to realize we don't know how many more days we have, so let's make every day count for Him. Let's serve Him. Let's preach the gospel. Let's share Christ with people. Let's impact our kids. Let's do everything we can to get the gospel of Christ out. Because none of us know if we have tomorrow. None of us. So let's get the gospel out. Let's preach it. Let's teach it. Let's share it. Let's proclaim it. And you're saying, why don't you just shut up? Because it's getting late. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank You for, Lord, helping us to understand this thing of healing in the Bible. And Lord, this thing of physical healing, part of Israel's program, and it's a sign, Lord, to Israel that kingdom is near, that kingdom's at hand, that kingdom is offered. Lord, and when we see that physical healing, we know that's a sign to Israel that kingdom is at hand. Lord, we know why James wrote to the 12 tribes what he did. The kingdom was at hand. In James's mind, the kingdom was right there at hand. So he writes to those 12 tribes. Lord, we know now. We understand these things. We see them. It's cleared up, Lord, as we rightly divide Your Word. And I pray, Father, that all of us will understand where we fit in Your plan. I pray we'll all understand where we fit in the body of Christ. We'll all understand, Father, that You haven't promised when we get sick that we're always going to be healed. Lord, You haven't promised us in the body of Christ that, but You have promised us ultimate healing. You've promised us an incorruptible body that we're going to be fit to dwell in the heavens forever with. You've promised us eternal healing. You've promised us an eternal, incorruptible, undefiled body that we're going to be able to dwell in for all eternity and serve You. Thank You for that promise. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your Word tonight. May we understand these things and understand the importance, Lord, of rightly dividing Your Word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.